Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
It is Saturday Magazine with Macca and Pete Dillon. Hope you're having a good day. Slight change of pace now. Our guest in the studio is Michael Barnett, a name that is very well known to our community, as he grins quietly there. But it is a very well known for a number of reasons, all of them good. Michael is the convener of ELEF in Melbourne, and I'll let Michael explain exactly what ELEF is. But if you're Jewish, listen to this, Michael.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What a pleasure it is to be back in the studios.
It's great to have you here.
This is actually quite an amazing moment, not so much this morning, but this year. It's the 20th year. This is our 20th birthday year of this organisation, ELEF Melbourne. And I've been involved in one way or another for the most part of last 20 years doing this type of stuff, providing social support and advocacy for people in Melbourne's Jewish community who are gender diverse, sexual orientation that isn't necessarily heterosexual, or whatever they are. And it's been a very necessary
organization. 20 years.
Yeah. Formed in January 95.
I bet the environment now within the Jewish faith is a lot different.
Absolutely.
To what it was 20 years
Absolutely.
Ago.
Absolutely. In many ways, it's come full circle. There are so many transformations that have happened in the Jewish community where I couldn't have imagined. We've now got active support, no to homophobia, happening at the top level within the Jewish community. We've got schools that are participating in Safe School Coalition Victoria. We've got marriage equality being called for by a variety of Jewish faith communities in Melbourne. And these are things that I don't think we would have ever imagined in our wildest dreams. It's not to say it's all like that.
It's a bloody good start.
But the transformation is remarkable, and I'm quite proud of what has happened. It's not been an easy journey, I must say.
What are the biggest challenges that still face you, like 20 years in? What are the things that you found hardest to break down or change?
Look, there are entrenched attitudes. Unfortunately, people who have a more perhaps observant Orthodox or ultra-Orthodox are bringing don't understand much about diversity in terms of sexual orientation to start with, and there are so many toxic attitudes, and it's cracking that nut that's proving really difficult. But we've seen some amazing advocacy just recently when in February we had the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse, and a rabbi got up and made some pretty horrific statements, and the Jewish Community Council of Victoria gave him a bit of a rap over the knuckles and said that these, comparing homosexuality to alliance of paedophilia and saying that homosexuals can be cured, well, they said that these are repulsive statements and they shouldn't be made. So, we've got people speaking out against that, but those attitudes are still out there, and it's pretty horrible stuff, and kids growing up in those environments have no chance.
I mean, it's to me, it's always I've always found it really hard to rationalise that Jews, one of the groups that has suffered so much oppression mm-hmm. and discrimination over forever, right? Mm-hmm. And that homosexuality isn't a choice, right? Religion is a choice. Now, obviously, in that, it's the environment you grow up in, but religion is a choice. But that the lack of understanding or the lack of acceptance, not just in the Jewish faith, but in a lot of faiths, around homosexuality, but particularly in the Jewish faith, that has suffered more than anyone else.
Yeah.
It's always, to me, I've always had a real trouble rationalising it. I understand people's beliefs and I respect their beliefs, but it's like, there's a set of blinkers.
It's a difficult one, Macca. I hear where you're coming from, and I know what you're saying, and I agree with you. That you can't on the one hand say, you know, we've been, you know, victims of so much oppression, and on the other hand dish out what people might perceive as the same type of oppression. The problem here is, though, that the word that is written down, that is in the Jewish faith, in the Bible, in the Torah, that this immutable word of God, as is put, you know, they can't see beyond that, and that is absolute. There is no reinterpretation of that in these communities where people say, where it says homosexuality is a sin, which is also expressed in Christianity, but it's slightly, the nuance is different.
There's a unity ticket going on here, you know.
Well,
Christianity,
yeah,
Judaism,
but I think that Christianity paints it slightly differently, whereas in the Orthodox Judaism, it's absolute. There is no possible other way to reinterpret this, and end of conversation, full stop. No further discussion entered into. Whereas Christianity might try and argue it with you, but
they will. Now Easter,
Easter
in the Jewish faith, if I'm correct, this period is called Pesach.
There's not so much Easter in the Jewish faith. It's Passover in the Jewish faith, and Easter happens to come around as a result of Passover. So this year they've coincided, and last night was the first night of Passover, or Pesach, as depending on how you call it, and it sort of coincides with Good Friday. And I was having a bit of a conversation yesterday with my husband Gregory, who was brought up in the Catholic faith, and for him Easter is about hot cross buns and spending time with family. And I was sort of bemused by the concept of, you know, if you've brought up with a Christian parent and a Jewish parent, what do you do on Passover when you can't eat unleavened bread, but on the other side you want to have hot cross buns? It's a bit of a...
I like that.
I feel like that might be the smallest issue going on in that family somehow, though.
We've got a message from a listener here. It says, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Many modern Orthodox groups are very accepting.
Accepting, yes and no. There's a point at which the acceptance comes, and I don't see it as... I haven't seen too many Orthodox communities calling for full equality under the law. I haven't seen too many Orthodox communities, and I haven't seen any Orthodox schools like Mount Scopus College in Melbourne saying that we need to be part of a Safe School Coalition Victoria program. They say, oh, we have anti-bullying, but we won't talk about homosexuality as being legitimate. So whilst we're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, we're not seeing, you know, the calls for equality under the law and in communities. So
the baby's swirling around.
I want to see
the
modern Orthodox support. I don't want to hear the lip service.
One of the interesting things is, you know, the government and the opposition both have a member in their ranks that's a member of the Jewish faith, Michael Danby and Josh Frydenberg.
Right.
Both those guys, and I know Michael Danby much, much better than Josh. I've only spoken to Josh a couple of times.
Right.
But I know the challenge and the difficulties that Michael had in getting to the point of publicly saying he supported same-sex marriage with a few riders. And
I heard that interview.
Yeah, and being politician, look, of all faith and of all parties, that I do understand the difficulty they have, but the journey that he had to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think it makes it particularly difficult for Michael and Josh because of the very strong, and particularly probably more so for Michael because of the electorate he represents, but that the Orthodox communities, as you say, this is what the Torah says, and that's it. So there's no discussion about it. Do you think politically, Michael, that Jewish leaders really, whether they're political leaders, whether they're religious leaders, community leaders, they need to stand up and, I think, make a much clearer statement about this, that it's just not acceptable.
Oh, look, I agree with you. You know, we're talking about rights of people. We're talking about treatment in society. We want equal treatment as equal people. And a politician representing a community can't say, but our Jewish constituents are far more important than our gender diverse or LGBTI constituents. You know, all people are equal, and they need to show support, and they need to say, look, you know, despite my personal beliefs, You know, I support everybody equally. Josh Frydenberg's just recently come out and said he wants to support a conscience vote, or he would support the notion of a conscience vote. He hasn't declared his position on marriage equality yet. Michael Danby sort of declared it, kind of.
I don't worry, I'm going to hold him to his promise. But, you know, for me, a conscience vote, how can you have a conscience vote on something that's discriminatory?
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. Your conscience should be the last thing.
Yeah.
You should be going, despite what I think, you can have your own beliefs and you can have your own prejudices, but you should say, I represent a community where everybody should have equal access to all opportunity. Mm. It is purely, it shouldn't even be a conscience vote.
Look, Michael Danby, I get his media releases and he is constantly on about what's going on in Israel. And he's far more outspoken about what happens overseas than he is about what happens in Australia. And I reckon he needs to reprioritise.
I'm not going to disagree. Michael Barnett, thank you so much for your time on this Saturday morning. Really appreciate it. Love to have you back again soon. Congratulations on 20 years.
Thank you.
Well done. Gutsy. And thank you.
Find us on Facebook or on the internet, aleph.org.au.
Fantastic. You are on SatMag with Macca and Will Anderson. Stay tuned because there's more.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.